This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
On today's episode, we're a man light as Chris pulls a sickie to go to the circus, believe it or not. Major developments on the Paddy Power forfeit. We give our verdicts on Moyes at West Ham. And stay tuned for an alternative Puskas Award winner. Hello and welcome to that Peter Crouch podcast with me, Peter Crouch. Got the notorious SID with me. No Chris Stark.
Do you know where he is?
Well, he just texted on the group saying, sorry, I can't be there today, boys. If you need me for anything, I'll be on the phone apart from 12 o'clock when I'll be in the circus.
So I hope he's taking the family there and he's not performing. I've actually got a, he sent a voice note for about, I think maybe where he is. Let's see if I can play this.
Everyone listening, sorry I can't be there for this Friday podcast. It's been a big old bank holiday weekend. I've been DJing a load of race courses and now I feel gross. I think I've got what is a slightly adult version of Fresh's flu. You boys won't know that. You won't have experienced that, or I don't think you would have. But there'll be some people listening who have, and it's pretty gross. So look, sorry I can't be there today. I'll do my predictions in a bit. Obviously, headline here from me, my arse.
Sounds like it's fell out on the message.
In more ways than one. Squeaky bum time for me, bottom of the league. I've actually been brilliant this season, it's fair to say, and right at the last hurdle. Everything seems to be going wrong. So I'm not going to take any gamble with the predictions today. I'm going to play a straight bat with these. Nothing risky. I can't remember if I've got lifelines that I need using. And I know we've still got one more Friday pod, haven't we? So I'll probably use them then. But yeah, predictions coming up. Just want to give a very honourable shout out to Bromley FC on getting promoted. Don't know if you saw the penalty that Byron Webster took. He wore an EFL captain's armband to take the penalty. Someone told me that he's been wearing this throughout the season, which is amazing. I want to know your boys' thoughts on that. It's just like, I think it's one of the coolest penalties I've ever seen. So give it a watch. Let us know your thoughts. I've gone one step ahead and I'd had a couple of drinks after DJing Newmarket race courses and slid into his DMs, of course. As you know, it's what I do. So I have invited him on the podcast. I'm sure you boys will shut that down, but I thought it would be good to get him on. But as I say, I was pissed. However, it was a good penalty, so I'll let you guys decide. I think I know what Crouchy will say. All right, boys, I look forward to seeing you soon, and really sorry I can't be there today. And back stronger and all that. All right, predictions coming up.
Wow, okay, I've got a couple of things on that.
Yeah.
So he said about Fresh's flu.
Yeah.
But then he's at the circus.
Well, that just feels like he's hit it too hard and then he's, you know, now he's just having a day out. Mm. Do you know what? That actually sums him up on the, and this is why he's got a squeaky bum and he's bottom of the league.
Yeah.
Because, you know, is he taking it as seriously as he should be? We're here, not the circus.
Mm. So, I don't know, sometimes he's a circus in there.
Does the circus know you're here? Was this what they used to sing to me? The fuckers. But yeah, you know, so Byron Webster.
Yes. Yeah? Oh, Bromley, yeah.
Yeah, well, so I need to get to the bottom of this. And yeah, I would like to have him on, because I'd like to get him on with this. When he's wearing the EFL armband when he's stroking the penalty home, but he's been doing it during the season as well.
He's wore the armband all season, but from report, there's a bit of a noise down here. So it's not me snoring.
We've got a great Dane in the house.
There's been pictures, I think, from all this season because the rumours come out that he put the armband on before this penalty And then I think it surfaced that there's been pictures throughout the season that he's wore this armband throughout the season, which is brilliant. So it's an EFL armband. They're playing obviously out of the National League, or sorry, Football League.
How would you, if you came up against someone, right, and they were wearing it and they were in the league below, how, it's a target on your back, right?
Yeah, it is.
But like, fair play to him because they've carried it through.
I'm having it massively.
Yeah. And even the celebration was good.
Yeah. Even before the penalty.
Yeah. Huh? Smiling at the keeper.
Raise his eyebrows with a smirk and then slotted home.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely amazing.
It's one of them, if it doesn't come off, he looks terrible.
Yeah.
But when it does come off.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. But you know what? Like, there's been a few stories like that. Obviously, Solihull Moors were a team that, you know, they've never been promoted either. So that was, you know, commiserations to them. Farnham Town, our mate Harry Hugo, remained unbeaten throughout the whole of the season.
Incredible.
He obviously owns the club. The only side in the top 10 tiers of English football, yeah. I believe.
They're step eight, aren't they, I think?
Step eight. To remain unbeaten the whole season.
And they won the league, I think, with still 10 games to go, maybe, and still maintained it, which is just brilliant.
Phenomenal, yeah. Hey? Really is good. Really is good.
But Leverkusen as well, going for the invincible treble.
Yeah, that's fucking incredible as well.
If that happens, that can't be beaten, surely. It's impossible.
What a job Javi Alonso's done. And one other thing, just a bit of admin as well, Lando Norris won the Miami Grand Prix friendly pod. Obviously, we gave him a couple of tunes to listen to in the paddock. Mm. And apparently, don't quote me on this, apparently he was listening just before the Miami, yeah.
He was getting focused too.
Apparently so, yeah. He was listening to 1,000 Miles, yeah. I think, by Vanessa Carlton. And then he went on and won. That and some car changes, I think, did it? But more important matters is this week's scoring.
Yeah.
Wasn't unbelievable. It was a grand total of 2 points across three players and nine games.
Well, nought points for you. Nil point for Chris as well. And I've crept in there with two. So that takes me off.
The issue here, right, I have, is the big game, Liverpool-Tottenham. I asked Rio Ferdinand, and he said he fancies Spurs to win 2-1.
He did say that.
Chris asked the Wilston Raider, and he said 2-1. And Chris wanted 2-1 as well to Tottenham. And I always remember the Wilston Raider said, great minds think alike. And then got it completely wrong.
Reed was confident as well, wasn't he?
Was confident, yeah.
He was very confident.
No, I think he thought Tottenham would bounce back, but that hasn't proved to be the case. But you backed Liverpool at home, which you should have done. Got a point, and you backed Chelsea to beat West Ham.
Yeah, Joe, if you actually look at my scores, someone went to me before them predictions and said, Sid, you need to do 2-1. Just do 2-1 across the board, and then one of them will come in. Now, none of them come in terms of 2-1, but I did get a correct score.
So hold on a minute. So you getting advice without the Paddy Power predictors?
Well, it wasn't.
So hold on a minute. Is this not a docking of points?
It's not official. It wasn't official advice.
Right. Okay.
It was just someone passing that said, just do 2-1s. So
all right, good advice.
But it's took me from bottom of the table to second. So current scores are: you're on 23, I'm on 19, and Chris now is with 18 at the bottom with two weekends to go.
Yeah, and there is there's strong rumours of a forfeit.
So this comes in from an email from Sam Carter from Peterborough.
Right.
Hi lads, a suggestion for the forfeit. How about the loser posing naked in an art class with the rest of the lads joining in the class and doing the drawing? I'm praying it's Crouchy.
Like a life drawing. Yeah,
whether we're holding like a football or a pineapple.
Yeah, I'd be Kate Winslet and you'd be DiCaprio in Titanic.
I mean, we're in front of the whole class as well. That is, I'd hate that.
Absolutely.
Silent.
Oh, mate, honestly, like, it's funny, right? It'd be funny for about 20 seconds. Can you imagine that, like, when you're cutting a half hour in and people are just still drawing you?
I don't think it'd be even funny. I would hate that. I would honestly...
I'm not into it
walking
either.
Walking into that studio with... because we're talking proper artists here. They're going to be sitting around and they're... I don't know.
I remember my gran used to do one and she used to buzz off it. I remember she used to come home and say... And she had all mates from the art class and she used to buzz off it and she'd have like... She'd have a young lad in. Oh, no. So some of them would be really pleased.
I mean, look, it's one that it doesn't sit well with me.
I think it's absolutely horrendous. I'd rather jump out of a plane.
Would you really?
Yeah, 100%.
And sit there, yeah.
And sit there and like, fucking, you know what I mean?
Horrendous. I think that's leading the... That's leading the leaderboard at the moment. That one, that forfeit, yeah.
Yeah, okay. seems to be one of the favourites.
Chris, I wonder how he would be with that.
Well, yeah, we'll have to ask him. I don't think he's going to be too happy.
He seems shaken, doesn't he? In that voice note there, he come out the traps, and I think he really thought that this was going to be dead and buried, and he was going to be clear. But he's in trouble.
Mm.
I think he's in trouble.
No, agreed. I think. What do you make of? The weekend's football. Obviously, Man City cruised to victory. Arsenal again looking good.
Yeah.
Haaland was fuming after being substituted off. What are your thoughts? After scoring four goals, he obviously wanted more.
He did. And I think no one's done the double hat trick, have they? No one's scored six.
No,
in one
it's
game.
Five, isn't it? I played in a game with Jermaine Defoe at Wigan when he scored five. I think there's only, I'm right in saying I heard it. I think it was Cole, perhaps Aguero. Berbatov.
Oh, really?
Haaland.
Oh, Berbatov.
I think there's about four or five players on five goals, so but no one's got six.
He's sulking. Do you reckon he's actually sulking because he wants the actual double hat trick or just another? Yeah. He wants more goals and he can just sense more goals.
When you smell blood as a player, this reminds me of Birmingham City in the FA Cup. We beat them 7 with Liverpool and I'd scored 2 in the first half.
Mm.
And I remember saying at half-time, like, you could just smell goals. I mean, I was like, and I pulled Rafa and said, like, you know, just leave me on for, like, till I get that trick, please. And I was withdrawn after 55 minutes.
Shut up. So he didn't listen to you?
Yeah, you know what? He's like, he was all about the team. It's not about personal accolades. But I was like, please, just let me get a hat trick here. And he wasn't happy.
Well,
dragged me straight off.
Well, there you go. So how did you feel when I know it's different kettle of fish because he's on 5, you're on 2. But when that number comes up and you're seeing, are you fuming?
I was absolutely gutted. Yeah. But I didn't behave like Haaland, to be fair. And I know, you know, it's all forgotten about now. But I was like that, you know, like,
You
know, I was more just resigned to, come on.
Yeah,
rather than being angry.
Yeah, I can get that because you're 2, you're going for the hat trick. He's obviously already got the hat trick. He's going for a double hat trick. But he doesn't seem, I mean, listen, he set the season alight, didn't he, last season?
Yeah.
Done really well. But he doesn't seem, I don't know, the same composed Haaland?
Yeah, no, maybe not so until like, to be fair, on a weekend, mate, that was clinical finishing. Like the header was, how high did he get?
Was that?
And obviously that finish with the left peg into the far corner, absolutely beautiful. And obviously, you know, the pens as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like a class act. Where do you stand? Obviously, West Ham were poor.
Yeah. Do you know what? The West Ham one. So there's reports broke, hasn't there, that Lopetegui is taking over or agreed to take over for the next season, which doesn't sit right with me, considering that the season's still going for David Moyes in terms of respect. But I just look at West Ham, right? And I know they're having an up and down season this season, right? Europe's played its course, but they finished 6th, 7th, 14th, and they're currently 9th, okay? So they finished outside the top 6 or 6th, and then outside the top 6 just with a couple of European campaigns in there and a European trophy.
Mm.
What more? I mean, what do the West Ham fans want?
Yeah, I do get that, but with regards to the... you know, to the league positions and obviously the European trophy, which is massive as well. But I do think it does feel time to change.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as well as David Moyes has done, I think it'd be probably a good time to go now and just, you know, look back. You'll always have a seat at the stadium and like in years to come, you go, oh, thanks for everything you've done. Some of the best moments, you know, of recent years, like for West Ham fans, they will always cherish that European trophy. Like what a great campaign, you know. I think If he goes now, you know, that will, people will maybe forget some of the poor results like Chelsea on the weekend, you know, and just go, actually, he did a really good job for us. But I think it is, maybe for both sets, both parties, it's time to move on.
You've done a couple of games, haven't you, this season at West Ham and recently. Mm. Have you felt a change in
Yeah, well, it just feels like the fans are kind of losing patience enough. With it at the moment. Yeah, they've kind of had enough. And I know, you know, no, the fans shouldn't dictate who stays and goes because, you know, they're not privy to exactly what's going on behind the scenes. But I do think it's, you know, it can become a difficult place to play for the players if they are on the, you know, manager's back. And it feels like it's probably time just to move on. And that was obviously a poor show. The thing is, they have great results. Mm. And then they go, and then they like have a result like Chelsea. It's like kind of, you can't put your finger on what the issues are, but there are. It does feel like there is.
That was their second consecutive away game where they've conceded 5 goals. Mm. So, which is unlike a David Moyes team as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just quickly, a stat that I see on Andy Cole in the week. I don't know whether this is true. I see this on social media. So he scored 187 Premier League goals.
Just before you finish this, I think he's like disrespected. When you know, when it comes to like people like the best forwards of all time, like Andy Cole is right up there.
Yeah.
Like I used to love watching him at Newcastle. Obviously that moved to United and then just smashed it. Mm. It was 187 goals, like you say, and like not spoke about in the same terms as someone who's played.
No, yeah. And in the week he was inducted, wasn't he, in the Hall of Fame, the Premier League Hall of Fame.
So
187 Premier League goals. Only one was a penalty, right? More impressive than that, in 414 Premier League appearances, he was only offside 24 times. Can you believe that?
That is
just like, consider someone that played on the shoulder, running behind.
Yeah.
Only 24 times offside in 414 games.
Wow. That is absolutely unbelievable. When you look at players now, like, you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, Nunes, I do see it like, I just feel like he's always offside, consistently making runs offside. Yeah. And I, for all the good things he does, I just think that is one that does frustrate me.
Mm.
And Werner, similar.
Timo,
you know,
Werner.
I just like similar runs that you just think, why is he running?
Yeah, because he was doing that at Chelsea, and he's still doing the same runs at Spurs.
But then, you know, someone like Cole, like, who also plays on the shoulder,
he's
been caught off what 20 something times.
Yeah.
400 odd appearances,
24 times in 414 Prem games.
Unbelievable.
That's not taking into consideration other games as well. But
that's a player that like plays on the shoulder as well, like relies on pace as well.
Mm. I'm hoping that's true. I've seen that on social media. Because
bear in mind that could be complete bollocks. For the moment, for the sake of this, it sounds really, really interesting.
Right,
where was that from? What source?
Joel, I just screenshotted it. I'll find out.
Yeah,
I'll find out.
If you do your digging and that's wrong, that's entirely on Stephen Sidwell. Right, this summer we're doing a special Euros edition of the podcast. If you want to be involved, if you want to come down, watch us record, Chris might even get on the barbecue. Hit subscribe now and you'll be in a chance to win some tickets.
Right, should we get on to predictions?
Yeah, let's get on to it. Right, the big one here. This next part of the podcast is supported by Paddy Power. It's their big weekend fixture. This is Manchester United versus Arsenal. Notoriously a massive game, huge game. Had some crackers over the years.
Yeah, and this is bigger than ever because if you actually look at it, Arsenal are going for the title.
Mm.
So are Man City. Man United would, I don't know, would Man United prefer Arsenal in the league? Or Man City, you'd have to say they'd want Arsenal to win it more than Man City, wouldn't you?
I don't know. Over the years, that got built up a big rivalry. I don't think it's a lose-lose situation, isn't it?
I mean, it's huge for Arsenal. I mean, they're in the driving seat. It's down. It's, you know, they keep putting the pressure on Man City. Man City keep responding, but this is huge. Should we listen to what Chris Stark has?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go with him first.
Okay, first up, Man United against Arsenal. Oh, lads, I can't take any gamble here. I actually think this game's going to be a lot closer than I think I'm going to give this credit for. And I think people will want to ruin Arsenal's chances. So my head is saying Arsenal on this one. and I don't feel I'm in a position to take risks. I'm going to go Arsenal 3, Man United 0. Arsenal are scoring so many goals at the moment. They're on a roll. I would like to think they're going to keep this up. Oh, God, this is tricky. I'm going Arsenal 3, Man United 0.
He's gone 3-0. That's a demolition.
3-0. Okay.
He's gone for an Arsenal demolition, not for an Arsenal.
Old Trafford. Old Trafford, yeah. but I'll be honest with you, I can't see anything different either. I just think Arsenal like on fire at the moment. I love watching them play. I love the way Declan Rice is playing. Enjoying him at the moment. Man United, you just don't know who's going to turn up, do you? Certainly at home as well. I think it's got to be one of the... They've probably lost... let me get that stat, actually. There is a stat here. Yeah, it's 9 home wins for Manchester United, which at Old Trafford is poor, isn't it, really? Yeah. It's the lowest of any team in the top 7.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes, I remember Rio saying to me, like, Old Trafford, like, it can swallow some players up, you know, like, it's a
heavy shirt to wear.
Yeah, it is, you know. Certainly when you play at home, if you don't perform, you're expected to perform, you know, it's the theatre of dreams, it's the place where, you know, you top players flourish. Mm. And if you know, some players can't handle it. And at the moment, it feels like they're making it, it's almost a hindrance playing at home than away. I think they'd probably prefer to play away, some of those players.
It sounds to me like you're edging towards Arsenal here. And I can see why you're saying that. Arsenal have kept a clean sheet in 5 of their last 7 games.
Yeah, and also Arsenal are 1-2. So obviously strong favourites. Tenner gets you £15. Man United are 9-2. Tenner gets you 55. So... Obviously, the odds are saying Arsenal all the way. They won 3-1 in the previous encounter. It was 2 injury-time goals from Rice and Jesus that won it. And that's the score I'm going with again. 3-1 to Arsenal. Are you writing it down?
3-1 and 3-0.
3-0, yeah. I've gone 3-1 Arsenal, even though it's at Old Trafford.
Okay, so you still, even though they got a good defence, Arsenal... And they're keeping clean sheets. I think
United can score. Yeah, I think they can score.
Right. Well, I'm going to actually use a lifeline. I'm gonna call a pal.
Are you?
A
friend.
I'm going to phone a friend. And so
me and Chris have used it. I rang Rio. Yeah. Chris chose the Wolston Raider. And who are you going to call?
I'm going to call one of the best pundits out there. He's a good friend of ours. Good friend of the pod, Joe Cole.
Oh yes.
So. I chose him because it's Man U and Arsenal, totally independent. And I think he'll just give an honest... There's a lot of pressure on this. There's a lot of pressure. Let's give him a call.
Are you going to call him live on the pod?
Let's go. Let's call him. See if he picks up.
Bonfire.
Oh. Bonfire. Hi, Joe.
Hello,
chaps.
How are we?
All right, son. Right, explain bonfire, please.
Yeah, I'll leave that one to Sydney.
There's a story to this.
Yeah.
Right, Coley, listen.
Come.
I'm going to paint the picture for you, okay?
Right.
The league table at the moment, Crouch is on 23, I'm on 19, Chris Stark's on 18. I need a prediction, please, for Man United versus Arsenal at Old Trafford.
Right, okay. Is it, do you all get a prediction? So you've got, like, you know, because the main thing, okay.
You tell them, I
fancy Arsenal were going to win, Sid, but I also fancy that they'll probably think that as well.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, with you being behind, I think Man U might just... Nick a draw, a Desmond 2-2. I'm gonna say.
Are you sure?
Sid, I'll get you back into this. Lean on, stand on me, mate, son.
Listen,
we'll be all right.
He's put his neck on the line for you, there, son.
I've put it on for you. We'll get back into this.
I don't know what to say. all right, okay. Are you okay? Are you sure? 100%.
I'm 100% sure, Sid. That's a draw. Got draw written all over it.
Okay,
the colours are going to mess up. Promised you.
All right, okay. All right. All right, Coley. Love you, son.
See you later, Joe.
Cheers, mate.
Take care.
See you, mate.
Bye.
That really felt like a Chris Tarrant who wants to be a millionaire situation there. You were like, 100%?
I feel like you've called him beforehand and you've gone stitch Sids up.
same as I did Paddy Power and Chris Martin.
He reckons a 2-2 draw.
The thing is, you've got to go.
Do we have to go with that?
Well, no, you don't have to.
I don't have to.
Do you? Do you have to? No, I mean, you don't have to, but it's a bit of a slight on Joe. You know, you
might. Oh, 2-2. Come on.
Could be the game that ends Arsenal's title hopes.
Well, look, I'm going to go with it. He's my mucker. He's 2-2.
Oh, that's exciting though now.
Well, I've got the draw. So,
yeah, okay.
You both have got Arsenal. I'm going to have the draw. All right, 2-2. Man U, Arsenal. Here we go.
Right, since the odds on the draw are 7-2. Get your money on as well. Okay, odds are correct at the time of recording. Please gamble responsibly. Tottenham versus Burnley. Spurs' Champions League hopes quickly faded away, really, haven't they, with the last 4 results, consecutive losses. I know they've played big teams, obviously Newcastle, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool.
Yeah.
But they're now 5th, and rather than chasing Villa, it feels like they're looking over their shoulders at Chelsea and kind of Newcastle behind them.
Just poor. Really deflated, doesn't it? It seems at Spurs. And do you know what as well? Ange Postecoglou, and I love Big Ange. You know, his interviews, his pre-match and post-match interviews as well, they're all brilliant, but he just seems a little bit snappy at the minute, doesn't he?
He does.
He doesn't seem happy.
Well, you know, he's a winner, and he's massively disappointed when they're losing. And, you know, I speak to Tottenham fans a lot as well. They're a bit disillusioned by it all at the moment. It feels like they've gone. It's not been good at all, shipping goals.
Yeah. Madison must be injured. I mean, sorry, must be recovering. I know he's obviously been recovering from an injury, but for not to start, because you're thinking, if he puts his strongest team out, they look good. But
he
keeps coming off the bench.
It looked better when like Richarlison come off the bench.
Mm.
And they look better. But you know, Liverpool really were quite comfortable. They allowed Tottenham back into it a little bit. But yeah, I mean, this is a must win, isn't it? You say must win, it's just really for the confidence. Like they got Burnley, who have been poor, lost 4-1. On a weekend to Newcastle.
How disappointed have you been to Burnley this season?
I expected more.
Considering how they've done in the Championship.
I expected more. They were the ones I kind of backed to stay up. I thought they'd show more, but they are adrift, and it's looking more and more unlikely that they're gonna stay up, unfortunately.
Yeah, straight back down. I mean, look, for Spurs, they need to win their last, I think they've got 3 games. Well, they need to win all their games left, and for Villa to have a shocker to get top 4. But it looks like they're going to be just outside the top 4. Mm. But I think you're right. I think this is just get back on the saddle.
Get back on it. But you know, we thought that might happen. Certainly, me and Chris did for Tottenham at Liverpool. But that didn't prove to be the case.
Okay.
Only saving grace for Burnley is if they got results recently at Old Trafford and Stamford Bridge.
Mm.
So another big side away from home. Can they get a result? I don't believe that they will. I think that Tottenham will run out comfortable winners here. Yep. 3-0. The Spurs are back.
I've actually got 3-0 myself.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy. I'm willing to change it.
No, if you said it first, you can keep it.
No, listen, I'll change it because I'm leading. And I feel like when you were leading, you changed it.
You're being a team player now.
I am, yeah. So I'll go 2-0.
2-0.
I'll change it to 2-0.
Okay.
What's Chris saying?
Should we see what Chris says?
Spurs against Burnley. Obviously, we're recording this just after the bank holiday weekend. But, I mean, a shocking weekend of football for Burnley. And it looks like all confidence has gone there. It was a big result, that. I think I'm going to have to back Tottenham here. I'm going to go Tottenham 2, Burnley 0.
I'm sticking with it anyway. It's got to be asked to change it again. I already changed once.
You're going 2?
Yeah, 2-0.
Okay. I think 3. I think Spurs win this comfortably, 3-0. Although they haven't kept the clean sheet and they're struggling defensively, I don't see Burnley scoring. So I'm going to go 3-0.
Yeah. Okay.
3-0, 2-0 for you and 2-0 for Chris.
All right, then we'll go into Bournemouth versus Brentford. Bit unlucky at Arsenal, would you say? I don't know. Like, they've been all right, Bournemouth, haven't they?
They've had a very good season.
Yeah, bit unlucky. A few decisions didn't go their way.
Yeah.
You know, Arsenal can dismantle any team as well.
Of course.
But they've had some good results.
They've done well. They got off to a slow start, but they're on course for a top 10 finish. They've gone underneath the radar.
They really have.
If someone said to you, where are Bournemouth in the league? You wouldn't have said that they're in for a top 10
Well,
finish.
It turned it round, didn't it? Because at first, I don't know if the manager was a bit not sure about it.
Yeah.
But seems to have really turned it round. And like you say, was he a point behind West Ham in ninth?
Yes.
So above Wolves and Brighton.
Yep, at home.
A good season.
Yep, they're decent at
Dominic
home.
Dominic Solanke. How well has he done, Solanke, this
year?
Yeah, so good, isn't he?
Do you reckon he's just short of getting on a plane for England?
Yeah, I think he's short of it. I think Tony and Watkins are ahead of him.
Yeah.
Even though I think Tony hasn't scored recently.
He's scoreless in 10.
Yeah, that's what I mean,
for,
yeah.
For Tony. Yeah, and Solanke's got 18 this year.
Yeah, and Solanke's got 18 goals.
Yeah.
Only four players scored more in the league. So you would expect Bournemouth to score goals. Brentford, on the other hand, been pretty disappointing, even though they lost, you know, they've lost Tony. I think they've struggled probably more than I expected them to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this just sums them up. In the last five games, Brentford have won two, drawn two, and lost one.
Mm.
So you just don't know. You don't know what's going to turn up. It's a tough one to call. This. Should we see what Chris has gone with first?
Yeah, go on,
lads. I'm going to keep this one nice and short. I think Bournemouth have a bit too much about them for this one. But then I scored no points last week, so what do I know? However, I'm going to back Bournemouth. Won't be good news for Bournemouth fans this, because if I back them, Brentford should probably win. I'm going to go Bournemouth 2, Brentford 0.
As long as you don't, you know, back the same score as Chris, you should be fine. So I've gone with 2-1 to Bournemouth.
Have you really?
Yes.
Do you know what? I've done the same.
Oh, have you really?
But I'll change.
It. Stick with it. No. Change.
No.
Stick with it.
No, because I'll be like...
it's squeaky bum time.
God. So it's 2... He's gone 2-0. You've gone 2-1. You're out of sight, really. I mean, no, I can catch you.
I'm not out of sight. So, I don't know why people keep saying this. It's not long. It's not far. It's 4 points.
Okay. All right, let's go 2-1.
Yeah.
I do think Brentford will score. So 2-1. I'm going to go same as you, 2-1.
Yeah.
Chris has gone 2-0.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Well, listen, good luck to everyone. Should we get into a few messages and shirts?
Let's do it.
Yeah. I've got this one that has been brought to my attention by a lot of listeners. It's the egg fried at Arsenal.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Obviously number 41.
Number 41 as well. With rice, egg fried rice.
But there's no rice. It just says,
Egg fried 41.
Mm.
How funny is that for a whole season? Obviously the first time you see it, you go,
yeah,
that's funny. And then where'd you go from there? Afterwards,
yeah, I think you're going to regret that one. I think you're going to regret that one down the line. You're going to look back on it and you're going to show, like, you might keep that one in a box and then your kids are going to go, oh, whose shirt was this? And you're going to say,
it's Declan Rice. All right, so there's a fella in front of him, right, as well. Good job, Jobsy.
Didn't notice that one.
Job Jobs. I don't know. I number two.
Jobsy.
Well, I don't get it, do you? I don't know. I don't know what. Like, obviously, egg fried's horrific. That's right in the front there. But then I don't know. There's another shirt in front. I can't get my head around either. But thanks for sending them in.
Yeah.
I took another picture, actually. I did a game at Aston Villa with Alan Hutton.
Oh, I did see
this. And there was a picture I took of the Alan Hutton Supporters Club.
Is it incredible? So you done the European night with him the other day.
Yeah.
I done one the previous round at Villa Park. He's idolised him.
What a legend.
Hey?
They love him there. I didn't realise how much they loved him there. Everywhere we went, it was like everyone singing his song. It was great.
Good lad.
The Scottish Cafu.
It's mad, isn't it? Because he was on the verge of leaving, not playing. Fans didn't like him because they felt like he was taking a wage and not performing.
Yeah.
And then he won around.
And then he turned it around. Absolutely unreal.
What a goal that was as well. The Maisie run, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Good guy, Hutz.
All right. Got a message here from Stuart. It says, Dear Crouchy, Chris, and Notorious SID, watching your podcast religiously, sometimes even twice. Loving it. Although Chris talking about rubbing his meat does make me hover over the unscribe until I remember it's barbecue talk. The section about shirts that people have worn to grounds with questionable names on the back has cracked me up. And I think what goes through people's heads. Then the other day, I was going through my bag of West Ham kits that I've collected and kept since the 80s. I'm aged 43. To see what classic is the right size for my daughter to wear. When all of a sudden, I pulled out an away shirt from the 2002-03 season. And it turned it over and felt a cold sweat. On the back, in the black Premier League capital letters, was the shameful act that a 22-year-old should never do in their life. Have some shit saying put on the back of a West Ham shirt or any shirt saying that. Attached is my car moment. So what he's got, his car moment here is the shirt, it's a West Ham shirt. I remember this shirt well. It was the white one with the kind of maroon stripes down it. Sorry, the claret stripes down it. And it says, go with Defoe, number 9.
Yeah.
And he says here, to make it worse, Defoe did go with Defoe and piss off to the Spuds at the end of that season. Last laugh there. I'm not sure whether to send it to you to start a hall of shame or to stuff it back in the bag and never touch it again. Cheers for the great pods, Stuart.
So I remember this. This was the jersey. Did they get relegated with jersey?
They got relegated with and like then, Carrick, Joe Cole, was in
like
it?
Record maybe? Points, wasn't it? 44 points or 45 points?
Yeah, and the team, David James. Yeah. Unbelievable, scandalous team to have gone down, really.
Unreal. Yeah, I mean... So, was this a saying then, go with Defoe? Or was this something he just made up?
I think Stuart's just made it up.
And he's had that on the back of his shirt. Yeah, it's a little bit like the egg fried, isn't it? You look back at it and go...
The egg fried's a mistake from day one. Don't know what you see.
I mean, to be fair, what does make it worse is he's going to go with Defoe and then... When they got relegated, he put the transfer request in the next day and obviously went to Spurs. To Spurs. So they didn't go with Defoe. So he's fucked it either way, hasn't he?
He's fucked it, yeah.
Right, Stuart, that needs to go back in the box come back out.
One other thing as well, just quickly. You can do this next one, Sid, but did you see Birmingham City obviously relegated, right?
Recently, yeah.
And then did you see there was a little bit of a pitch invasion? Did you see the lad who... rolled the ball on and took a free kick.
I've briefly glimpsed on this because there was a couple of pitch invasions, wasn't there? It was Ipswich over the weekend.
Right, yeah. So this is Birmingham City, obviously been relegated, and this Blues fan scored an absolute screamer.
Right, so there's fans all on the pitch. Yeah. What? So where has he got the? Is this the match ball?
He's just rolled a ball up, right? So remember, this is the guy here, right? Watch this.
Look at the fact. Let's go to him. Where's he got that ball? That is a strike.
Right, he's
as
got
well.
It, right? So what's I heard someone say was, we sit there, we pay good money to watch professional sportsmen, right? Footballers line up a 4-man wall. Yeah. He's got an 800-man wall, right? An 800-man wall. He's rolled one down. He's had 8 pints.
Yeah,
probably a hot dog. Rolled it down and fucking bent it in the top bin.
Mate, how good is that?
The fact that that's been caught on camera. You know these people talk about the Puskas Award, right? Yeah. Get that man a Puskas.
I want to know if that can't be the match ball. And if it's not, then he's smuggled a ball in there to do it as well.
Unbelievable.
Brilliant.
You know, for me, I just think, you know, we constantly, you know, looking for the best goal of the year, right? That man is in with a shout. Please get in touch with the podcast.
Yeah.
Email in, get in touch with us on our socials. We want to find this man. We want to give him a Puskas Award.
They could do with him next season, Birmingham as well.
Yeah, exactly right. What a finish.
Okay, they've got a message here from Sam. I saw... this is ridiculous. Right, I see this one on socials in the North London Derby. A Spurs shirt with Son. Then underneath is an Arsenal shirt with... Erdegaard.
Oh my God, I wondered what was going on.
That?
So I could see him.
So
with his Tottenham shirt on.
This guy looks like he's sitting sort of medium to top tier at White Hart Lane. He's on the front row and the back of his shirt is clearly a white Spurs shirt with Son number 7. You can see it clear as day. But what also you can see clear as day is an Arsenal shirt directly underneath.
I had no idea. I hadn't looked in some depth. What the hell? That's worse than a half and half shirt, isn't it? What the hell is going on?
I take it this must have been taken early on in the game, because if Arsenal were winning, he would have whipped it off and just shown the Arsenal one or not.
Yeah, but I just don't like if you're an Arsenal fan, like, you don't need to pop the Tottenham shirt over the top to sit in the Tottenham end, do you? Mm. You know, he might be an Arsenal fan trying to cover up. You should wear a jacket.
Yeah, there's something behind this, isn't there? I think there's, even if he's coming out of White Hart Lane after the game and he has to, you know, walk and he's through Arsenal fans,
if you're an Arsenal fan, you don't, because you don't have to wear colours, do you?
No.
If you're an Arsenal fan, you don't wear a Tottenham shirt, do you? What is going on here? This is unforgivable, unfortunately.
That's poor. You can't do that. You're right. That's worse than a half and half shirt and half scarf.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever, unfortunately.
No. Good spot though, Sam.
Good spot. All right, moving on. Hey, Crouchy, no tourist in the BBQC Plus. I'm a big fan of the pod, and I heard you talk about wedding photos where the bride or groom is signing the wedding contracts. It gave me and my wife an idea. I've attached the picture, but I have to say we got a big cheer and a laugh for doing this. Great night, and lots of loads were smashed. Love the pod. This is Rob Smiley in Somerset. Yep, we're going back to the old favourite of signing the wife.
How good is this?
He's got her on a what looks like a long-term contract there.
They both look delighted as well.
Yeah. The smileys, looking very smiley. And she's signing the contract and he's holding a shirt with Smiley 12.
12 on the back. It looks like he's just done that last minute as well. She's got nowhere to go. She's sat down there, all the flowers in front, pen in hand, just about to sign, and then
he pulled the shirt out.
Pulled it out. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. Oh. I got a quick message here. I got sent a message on X or Twitter from Morgan Ramsey. And he obviously is a big Reading fan, it must be. And for his wedding, he named the tables after Reading legends. So we've got Quinn, Sidwell, there looks like Shaka Hislop there, Jilksy, Steve Coppell.
Oh,
and there's a table for Sidwell there.
Love that.
A table for Tam.
Absolutely love
underneath.
It. Look at that. Fantastic.
So, I appreciate that.
Yeah, lovely.
That went down really well in the Sidwell household. Thanks, Morgan. Appreciate it.
All right, good luck for this weekend's fixtures to Chris, who's at the circus, and to you, Sid. We've got a message from Susie, don't we?
We have. Let's go with it.
Oh, I love these.
We've not heard this, have we?
Hi everyone. Well, I chose this week's question because I was asked it by a 10-year-old quite recently and I have never really thought about it. And the question was, why is the stage of a competition in football known as a leg? We have the first or the second leg, we have the home and the away leg, etc. So the first thing I can tell you is that this use of leg began in sailing when it was the distance sailed on a single tack, which is the course of a ship in relation to the direction of the wind and the position of a ship's sails. Then a few decades later, and we're talking the 19th century, leg was being used for a part or stage of a journey. And then in 1899, we get the use in football for each of a pair of matches in which two teams play each other at home and away, with the aggregate score deciding the tie. I know you're going to ask me about aggregate next time, probably. Well, why is it called the leg? It's simply because the word went from being part of the body, which it still is, obviously, to a part or section of anything, including journeys. You have the first leg of a journey or games in sport. It is as basic as that. I also have to throw in, because you know I always do this, that if you're someone who tells your kids or your other half to show a leg and get out of bed in the morning, you're using a phrase that was used in the Royal Navy around the turn of the 19th century, and it was essentially for rousing sailors from their hammocks by the call, show a leg. And the appearance of a leg to the person doing the roll call meant that the sailor was awake and ready to rise. So that's that for this week. And if any of your wonderful listeners have any ideas or anything that they'd like me to research, just throw them at me because I love all this stuff. Speak to you soon. Bye.
And we love you, Susan.
Yeah, we certainly do.
Sailors... Yeah. Awake and rise.
Mm. All right. Show a leg.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This episode is brought to you by a load of pricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned around to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to aloadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, load of pricks.net.